Scripture says in Psalm 69 and 1 says, save me. Save me. When you break that down, it means deliver. Deliver me. Oh God. For the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Anybody relate to that? They that hate me without a cause. I'm more than the hairs of my head. Some of you are saying, well, that's not much. You're blessed and highly favored then. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies, wrongfully, they're mighty. Then I restore that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. Better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad. And your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and the earth praise him. Somebody say praise him. The seas and everything that moveth therein. Somebody just kind of move a little bit. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth, praise him. I want to preach on this thought this morning, deliverance. Deliverance. Can we pray together? Would you lift your voices? There's been a wonderful spirit of prayer and worship and unity. I feel that in this house of belief. God's going to deliver somebody from several things this morning. Come on, let us pray, let us pray, let us pray. Let us pray, let us pray. Let's talk to Jesus. Come on, if you've ever needed deliverance, if you've ever needed God to save you, if you've ever needed God to heal you, come on, I feel a Sunday night atmosphere in this place. I feel revival in this house. Save me, O God. Jesus. Let there be deliverance. Let there be deliverance, O God. Let your word go out. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Save me, O God. Deliverance. Mire or mud, the psalmist talks about. He talks about waters. He talks about sinking in deep mire, verse 2. And there's no standing. I'm in deep waters where the floods overflow me. Mire or mud, the wet, spongy earth. The soft, sticky matter resulting of the mixture of earth and water. It's also defined as a troublesome or intractable situation. Let's not forget that we as flesh are made of earth. And the flesh will get you in a whole lot of trouble. Well, we are the dust of the earth. Genesis 2 and 7 tells us that, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth or the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This psalm is a lament of David. The psalmist expresses his vulnerability, his humiliation and the overwhelming pain that David was in. He's asking God to vindicate him for the sake of the righteous. It's a psalm of David, and it was meant for the choir director. David is in a heap of distress. David is very descriptive in this psalm. He's obviously very overwhelmed. I think that sometimes we seem to think that people in the Bible didn't have or face some of the things that we face or deal with, and didn't have some of the hardships or difficult situations or trouble that we have dealt with or are facing in our lives, past, present, and future. In fact, the scripture tells us in Job chapter 14 and verse 1, very, very profound. It says, man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. It's very refreshing to read our Bibles and have a reality check that others had the same issues too. Even the mighty King David had difficult times. If in life, you're going to have trouble. In life, you're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. Nobody, somebody say nobody. Nobody is exempt from that. In fact, the longer you live life, the more you will find this to be a reality. David describes himself as almost drowning. Psalm 69, 1 and 2, save me, O God, for the waters are come unto my soul. I sink in deep mire. Notice this, where there is no standing, I come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Do you know that drowning is the third leading cause of unintentional injury of death worldwide? Drowning can happen to anyone. Drowning happens year-round at all hours of the day, and it is no respect of person. Drowning is serious. Same thing with trials and trouble and tribulations and backsliding. It can happen to anybody. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. It doesn't matter your position in the church or who goes to church with you, how much you give in the offering. There will be some trials. There will be some tests. There will be some tribulations. There's going to be some testing. There are going to be some days that you're going to feel like you are drowning, that it looks and feels like you can't catch a breath or take a break, like you're in the mud, like you're in the mire that God brought you out of. And it feels like you got a little bit of that residue still right there. And it feels like it's grabbing a hold of you. And you cry out to God, and you're looking, as the psalmist says in Psalm 69 and 20. Notice this. Sister Tori, if we have that, Psalm 69 and 20. Reproach hath broken my feet, and I'm full of heaviness. And I look for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. I just looked for somebody to relate to me. I just needed somebody. I'm in this deep water. I'm in this mire. I'm in this situation where the waters are almost overflowing me. I'm in the deep end of the pool, and I'm looking for help. I'm looking for somebody, even the spectators and the haters to even help me. But I didn't find anybody. And somebody just to say it, empathize and say, you know, I know what you're dealing with. I've been there. It's all right. You still got the training wheels on. I looked for somebody that would just look at me and maybe nod their head and say, I got you. I'm there for you. But I looked and I didn't find anybody. There's nobody there. The waters are about to overtake me. The troubles and the sins. Maybe it's the sins of your past. Maybe it's the sins of the weekend that you say, oh God, I thought you delivered me from that. But Lord, I didn't know how I got back to the place of where this begins to be something that I'm dealing with. And you feel as if you're drowning. You know that drowning doesn't always look like drowning. See, we have been trained that drowning is somebody that is splashing around in the water. But drowning is actually very quiet. Drowning is something somebody can be drowning right next to you and not be making any sound and not be making any noise, but they're drowning. Because it's the number two cause of accidental death for some age categories. But drowning people are physiologically unable to call out for help. The respiratory system was designed for breathing. Speech is a secondary or overlaid function. Breathing must be fulfilled before speech occurs. Drowning people's mouth alternately sink below and reappear above the surface of water. The mouths of drowning people are not above the surface long enough for them to exhale, inhale, and call out for help. And sometimes we feel like we're drowning when what we really are, we're in a state of aquatic distress. We're looking and we need some help, but nobody is around to help us. You're surrounded and you got a troublesome situation and the waters of life are all around you. You're surrounded and you can't seem to get a foothold. And David said, I sink deep in mire and there was no standing. I come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. He was in a situation where he couldn't stand up. The mire and the mud was consuming him. Am I preaching into anybody this morning that you feel like you can barely stand up? The pastor, I know you taught for 6 weeks about the full armor and having our spiritual armor and Ephesians 6 and stand therefore and having done all to stand, but you feel and you see you got trouble on your right and you got trouble on your left. The waters of life are consuming you. The burdens of other people's troubles are weighing on your mind and heart. Let me share something with you. The same people that will be making withdrawals from you, you better be careful to make sure they're not the same people that are making deposits in you. Deliverance. Deliverance. We seen things in the flesh. The flesh is all around us. Literally, the flesh is all around us. We are flesh. You can and you will be victorious because sin doesn't have dominion over you. You are greater than the obstacle or the trouble that you are facing. The scripture tells us that greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. The natural man sees things in the natural. We're limited by our abilities to comprehend and see things because our thoughts are our thoughts. And what we put into this thing is what's going to come out of our mouth. And what is put into our hearts or what we're observing, what we're feeding our eyes and our ears and what we're feeding our mind is what is going to be the depository of how we act and react to some things. In fact, God's level, his thinking, his ways are at a whole nother level. Isaiah tells us, the prophet, I referred to it a couple services back, but for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than yours. That's the God that we serve, that even when we do not understand it, can't figure it out, he's working it out. Scripture tells us in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I'm preaching and I'm reaching for somebody this morning. You feel as if you are drowning. You feel as if all of the waters of life are all around you and you got trouble at work. You got trouble at home. You got trouble in your bank account. You got trouble in your body. You're having trouble in your relationships and you come to church and you feel like you have trouble at church. Can I tell you that there's deliverance this morning from all the above if you would just change your position. In each instance of life, we have to understand and remind ourselves that God is in control. The waters may be closing in, but God is in control. We have an understanding that God is in control. We say, "Oh, Pastor, I know that. It's quite obvious because the sun rises and the waters flow and I'm still breathing and God is in control." But you, sometimes you're like a drowning person that is drowning where most people drown because they try to stand up in the water. They end up pushing themselves up as if they're getting up from a desk or a table, and there's nothing there because the water isn't hard. It's not solid. And they find themselves in life trying to lean on themselves, trying to support themselves. You know that you should be leaning on the Lord, and you tell other people that you just got to trust God. But it's a little bit different when it's you to say, well, I got to trust God. I got to trust God. It's a little bit different when your cupboard is bare and your bank account is low. It's a little bit different when you got trouble on your job and you're being retaliated against of some things that are no fault of your own, like David said. They're making accusations against me. And I didn't do anything about it. The enemies hate me without cause. I got more haters than the hair on my head for no reason. And you're like trying to pull yourself up by yourself. The scripture says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I wonder if there's some apostolic Pentecostals here this morning and says, you know what? I've been waiting on the Lord and I know He's going to hear me. I know He's going to answer. And in fact, Pastor, I feel something in my spirit that this morning there's going to be a deliverance in my life. There's going to be something that I've been talking to God about for months and God is about to deliver me from it this morning. Would you believe that in prayer and praise this morning? Deliverance. Deliverance. Folks, trying to pull yourself together, you're splashing around, but you can't get enough oxygen together to say anything. And all that splashing around is wearing you out. And trying to stay above water is wearing you out. Some of us are drowning in our sins, the same perpetual sin. Some of us are drowning in grief, poor decisions that we've made, family trouble. Some of us are drowning in work pressures. Some of us are drowning in bitterness or pride. Some of us are drowning in financial situations, financial stress or addiction. But I want you to understand a fact about drowning. You're not drowning if you can call for help. If you can call out for help or call for someone and they can hear you and come to your rescue. I wonder how many I'm preaching to this morning. You feel as if you're drowning in your walk with God. Maybe you've been estranged from Him for too long. You've got all the cliches. You know what to say. You know what to tell me when I call you. You know how to act, how to keep it all together. But you've been drowning. I'd even go so far to say that you're in a backslidden state spiritually. You've been feeling like you're in the mud, and now every time you try to pull yourself out of, you fall deeper and deeper into the mire of sin, of depression, of anger, of frustration, of apathy, and you can't pull yourself out. You know why? Because only God can pull you out. He can deliver, and He does deliver. Only He can satisfy, and only He can sustain. In fact, the scripture tells us in Jeremiah 31 and 25, for I have satiated the weary soul. I have replenished every sorrowful soul. That word satiated means to thirst, to make drunk, to fill, to satisfy, to soak with water. I wonder how many times we think that we're in a state of drowning and the Lord is saying, no, I'm just trying to saturate you with some things. I wonder how many times we look at a trial or a tribulation or a personality conflict or something that we're dealing with and say, you know, Lord, what is it that I did for this punishment? And all along the Lord is saying, I'm not punishing you. I'm getting ready to elevate you. I'm getting ready to bless you. I'm getting really ready to promote you and exalt you above all people. Think about the story of Joseph. All the stuff that he went through, 15 to 17 years of trouble. But all that in him was either being molded, broken, restored, revived, so that when he got to the place of position, he didn't retaliate against his brethren, but he sustained them. And he tells them that what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. tell you what, there's a lot of things some of us are going through. God is trying to break some things in us so he can build some other things in us. And we're looking at it from a punishment. God is saying, no, I'm about to promote you, baby, but I cannot promote you with that pride in there. So I got to break it down. I can't promote you with $1 million because you won't even pay tithes on $500. So I'm about to break some things in you so that I can deliver you from yourself. Think about this. So he'll go. So many times the enemy will go after your worship or your prayer, your praise. Let's take, for example, Job. Job chapter 1. Job lived in a time where praise and worship was a result of animal sacrifices and building a literal altar and putting something on the altar. And look, if you look in the scripture, one of the first things that the enemy came after right from the get-go was his oxen, his donkeys, the flesh of the things that he would have used for worship. Because the scripture tells us that Job chapter 1, that Job was an upright man. He was righteous. He eschewed evil. He would offer worship and sacrifices for himself and his children just in case they did something that they weren't supposed to. He wanted to just do it for them. And the first thing that he came up against was the removal of the things he was going to be using for worship. Think about that. So one of the first things sometimes when we have our back up against the wall or we're feel like we're sinking or we're drowning is our worship and prayer and praise is hindered or minimized. But David's in this situation, and the scripture says he goes from a deliver me to a prayer, and he begins to pray, oh God, deliver me. I want to say it's around verse 14. He said, deliver me. Come quickly, he says. Hurry up and deliver me. I'm drowning. Has anybody ever prayed that prayer? God, come quickly because I'm about to headbutt this person real quick. You better deliver me real quick because I know the old term going postal is an old term and we don't play with that word anymore. That's because that's a real thing. But Lord, sometimes I feel like I'm going to go a Pollo Loco on everybody. But Lord, would you deliver me? And you pray those prayers. You say, God, would you come quickly?
Yeah, amen. Yes,
yes. And then he's got you waiting around. Doesn't answer your prayer. You get frustrated. The waters of life are still consuming you. The debt rises up. You got, now the haters got bring their friends and they're having a party and there are more haters on you and more trouble on you. And before you know it, that offended spirit that God delivered you from begins to creep in. And before you know it, the things that you thought you had overcome begins to creep in. And you're trying to worship in the midst of it all. You're trying to give in the midst of it all. You're trying to pray in the midst of it all. And all you want is the Lord to deliver you from the waters that are coming to your soul, because you're sinking in the mire and there's no way for you to stand, and you're splashing around and you're trying to get somebody's attention, and even God himself hasn't answered your prayer. But can I tell you that if you could talk, you could worship. If you could talk, you can breathe. If you could talk, you can pray. If there's still breath, there is still hope. And I come to preach this morning deliverance in Jesus' name against whatever it is that you're facing in your life. God can do anything, and he can keep you from losing it all. He'll give you peace in the midst of crisis. A peace even when it feels like everything is out of control, because he is the Prince of Peace. He'll send peace. In fact, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. It's amazing how you can read a scripture. I don't even know how many times I've read this scripture. But the scripture says, now the Lord of peace himself gives you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all. But the part, Sister Walker, that stands out is, by all means. He'll give you peace by all means.
Yeah.
You ever make that statement? I just want peace by all means. By all means, I just want everything to be okay. The word of the Lord says, he'll give you peace by all means. That's the God we serve. You may feel like you're splashing around and nobody's hearing and nobody's paying attention. But I've come to preach this morning that there's going to be some deliverance for some of you this morning in this place today. It's going to happen for somebody this morning that you've been fighting and wrestling with some things, but I'm coming to tell you that we declare war against the enemy. We declare victory in Jesus' name. We don't only just declare it. We are victorious. We are the people of God. We are the child of God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He still is the author and the finisher of our faith. That which was, which is, and which is to come. And He's going to deliver somebody from whatever they're dealing and facing with this morning in Jesus' name. Deliverance. Deliverance. He's not going to leave you. I know we say that. It's not just something we say. Maybe we in ministry, we say things and it just because what we would call, as my pastor would say, Pentecostal phrases from the pulpit. But that's the anointed word of God, that He will not leave you nor forsake you. In fact, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 13:5, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. Never means never. We got to keep that in the forefront of our minds, that many times we pray for blessings and healings and deliverance and miracle and strength. And in order for those things to be answered, we have to be in a position of needing a miracle, a blessing or strength or deliverance. We have to be in a position in order for God to do something. A person that is sick doesn't need medicine or a doctor. I think that we lack many times a good reminder that our prayers get answered, whether we realize them or not. Because sometimes an unanswered prayer is an answer to a prayer. You know, we especially in modern times lack for very little. Whether we have what we want is another story. But most of us here don't lack for need, right? We don't need all those extra tacos, right? We like them because they're only $1.45 on Tuesdays, right? But we don't need 6 tacos. I mean, that's not a need. We are really good at being self-reliant. We are real good about being self-dependent. We're fighters. We persevere. Most of us here today are hardworking. Whatever it is that you do, you're hardworking. There's not a whole lot of quitters in Revival Tabernacle. Thank God for that. You've got to be tough living for God. It's tough. It's easy to quit. But we should not rely on man. We should not rely on ability. I think sometimes what I have seen as a pastor, that some folks, they've come to the realization that they've lived off the coattails of their parents for so long, even in their 20s. And then they come to reality where pastor begins to hold them accountable, or their job begins to hold them accountable. And then they realize, well, they were under the covering or the blessing of their parents. And now that covering is gone and they're their own person. And your talent and ability and your father's name is only going to take you so far until you can get a real revelation of who you are and who He is. And sometimes you got to be delivered from yourself, because if left to your own self, you become filled with wicked imaginations.
Right.
The scripture says in Hebrews 13:6, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. King David knew who his help came from and what to do in times of need, to call upon the name of the Lord. He changed his tune. I'm coming to a place where I want to be able to just to be real about some things. He came to change his tune and his position and begin to make a declaration of change. David begins to pray. Think about this. The king, a man with so much talent and resources and ability, begins to pray. You can never go wrong with praying. You can never go wrong with praying. It should not be what we try, but it needs to be what we do. Prayer needs to become part of our spiritual DNA. It needs to be. I'm afraid that some of the things that some of us are facing is because we have not been praying. We have not been doing like the song says, take it to the Lord in prayer. But we've been trying to educate ourselves on everything else, and we got opinion for everything, and we got a position for everything. But what we need to have is a position of prayer when we're drowning, and say, God, I'm going to change my position, and I'm going to get in a position of praying and say, Lord, not my will, but thy be done, because I'm dependent on you, oh God, and everything I have and everything I'm ever going to need is coming from you. And if you can deliver me, God, from the past, and you can deliver me, God, from the things of yesterday, you can deliver me of what I'm facing and dealing with today. And David begins to pray. Oh Lord, in an acceptable time, hear me. Deliver me. Let not the water flood overflow me. Neither let the deep waters shallow me up. I want to provoke something in this place this morning. I love to have good church. I don't like dead church. In fact, I would rather not have any church at all than have dead church. And we say, well, it's got to be shouting and fast. No, it could be just a small closed prayer meeting and a move of God where we talk to Him and He talks to us and we have an encounter with God that is tangible, that we could walk away and say, you know what? I prayed through. God ministered to me. God bless me. But can I tell you, you can never go wrong with an old-fashioned prayer meeting where you talk to the Lord and He hears what you got to say and you tell Him and He answers when He feels it's appropriate time to answer and to deliver you from the situation. But I want to provoke something in us this morning. How many times has prayer been the last resort? How many times do we say, I will pray for you, and then we don't? We're not intending to say, I'm going to pray for you and not, but it's what we say. I want us to be so consumed with prayer and have a conviction that we pray for people and places and things before we complain about them. That we pray about people, places, and things before we gripe about them or worry about it. That we pray about people, places, and things before we quit. That we even get to the place where we pray about people, places, and things before we buy it. Or agree to something. Because the scripture tells us in Philippians 4:6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But David changed his position once more from a prayer to a praise or a worship. He tells us in Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify His name with thanksgiving. When you magnify something, it becomes bigger. It becomes enlarged. So David begins to praise and magnify God with thanksgiving. Not with saying, Lord, I wish I had what my brother, I wish I had what Brother Angel has, or I wish I had what Sister Jarozic has. But no, God, I'm going to praise you for what I do have. I'm going to praise you for what you've given me, and I'm thankful for what you've given me, Lord. I may be drowning right now, but Lord, I remember sometime back I was drowning before, and I called out to you and you answered. And Lord, you delivered me once, and you can deliver me again, Lord. It's just a different day, God, but it's still the day that you have made. And Lord, I still will rejoice and be glad in it. Whose report this morning are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the scripture that says that He magnified God with thanksgiving, being thankful unto Him. Another psalm says, and bless His name. If you magnify something, that becomes bigger. It becomes the focus. If all you see is trouble, then that's all you're going to see. But if you begin to see that if I put this Bible up in front of my face, all I see is this Bible. And if this is trouble, every situation or every position I turn from, I still got this in front of me, and it's trouble. But if I put this Bible out here, this trouble becomes a lot smaller than everything and everybody around me. The trouble is still there, but I just got this trouble here, and I can look over there, and I can see a Sister Delgado that's worshiping. I can see a Brother Nichols that's praising the Lord. I can see a Brother Lindsay that's singing unto God, and I begin to say, you know what? Maybe I can hold hold this right here. I could just give it to God. And you know what? My trouble's still there. It's still present. It's a reality. I got this trouble, but I still got a choir of worshipers. I still got people that pray for me. I still got a God that loves me. It's not as bad as it seems. And I can be delivered because I'll magnify God with thanksgiving. I'm thankful. The psalmist says, Psalm 69 and 31, very, very, very awesome. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horn and hoofs. If we know that something pleases the Lord, don't you think we ought to do it? I wonder what would happen if some of us begin to magnify God instead of our problem. I wonder if some of us would begin to make prayer and magnify prayer instead of complaining. What would happen if we begin to magnify worship instead of how our feelings are? Begin to magnify thanksgiving. Begin to just be thankful. Just be glad that. How many of you would like to have a different job? Nobody? How about we thank the Lord for the job that you do have? It's that simple. You want a difference in your schedule? Anybody want a difference in your schedule? You're working nights and weekends. You're like, I want Monday through Friday, 7 to 4. Well, start thanking the Lord for the schedule that you do have. Say, Lord, thank you. I know you're trying to teach me faithfulness on my job because I can't get, pastor's beating it into me at church and I come here, my boss is beating it into me here. I got to learn faithfulness, but Lord, I'm going to be faithful in thanking you for my job. This swing shift, these nights and weekends are killing me, but Lord, I get to let my light shine. I got to leave early from church to get to work, but God, at least I get to go to church. I get to be a light when I get to work and say, well, where were you at? I was at church and I came right from church. That's why I'm eating this granola bar. It's not even break time yet because I'm hungry, and God's going to deliver me from this work schedule here pretty soon. Well, don't you know there's no openings? You got to put a transfer. Well, don't you know who I am and the God that I serve, and He can do anything. Deliverance. What some of us need to start doing is praying and praising. Change the position or mindset of I'm not just a praiser, but that's who I am. Scripture says in Psalm 150 and 6 to let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. If you're breathing, that qualifies you as a worshiper. You meet the minimum expectations. But in case you need a little bit more encouragement, let me give you one. Somebody just kind of lift your hand. Everybody lift your hand. There you go. Move your foot. Anybody move your foot? The Bible says, Psalm 69 and 34, let the heaven and earth praise Him, the seas and everything that moveth. Everything that moveth. If you could move, you qualify to praise the name of the Lord. Well, I move real slow, but you're moving. I got one speed, slow, but you're moving. It takes me a while to get up, but you're moving. It takes me a while to slow down, but you're moving. Let everything that has breath and everything that moveth praise the Lord. Why don't we magnify God with thanksgiving? Why don't we magnify God with praise? Why don't we magnify God with prayer and change our position? You're swimming and you can cry out to God. You can't move your arms as fast. You get a little bit weak and tired. But they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Don't get weary in well-doing, for you shall reap in due season. Somebody make some noise for Jesus. You musicians would come. Slip your hands in and love the Lord for a moment. It was 38 years ago. A father was working in his carport. His wife wasn't home. and he was watching his three-year-old little boy. The family lived in a community of duplexes. There was four duplexes, so there was a swimming pool, a community swimming pool, a large built-in swimming pool. The little boy, three-year-old little boy, and his mom would swim in that swimming pool. And his mother had taught her three-year-old little boy how to float on his back. And she would teach him at 3 years old, just to lay back and to float on his back in the pool with his mom. This little boy was very familiar with the swimming pool, and he knew how to get in the area and through the gate where the pool was at. And mind you, this was 38 years ago, so a lot has changed about access to swimming pools. And this little boy's father was working in the carport, and the little boy wandered off and made his way into the swimming pool. And he falls into the swimming pool, doesn't know how to swim. And he falls in with a splash, and the water surrounds him and overtakes him. This little boy is in a state of panic. Mind you, he doesn't know how to swim. He's 3 years old. It's a large swimming pool, a built-in swimming pool that's big enough for a community of duplexes. So swimming pool's about the high end, probably 6 to 8 feet in the deep end. And this little boy, 3 years old, falls in the pool, and he's gasping for air, and he's splashing around, and water's filling his lungs and throat. And in the midst of the torment and the dangerous situation, this three-year-old little boy changes his position in a time of distress. And he leans back and he remembers what his mama taught him, to float on his back in the pool. And he floats on his back and he begins to call out, "Pai, Pai, Pai," which is interpreted in Portuguese, "father" or "dad." This little boy's father, realizing that his son is missing, and frantically begins calling out for his son and realizes what has happened, dives into the swimming pool and rescues this three-year-old little boy who was floating on his back, calling out to his father, all because this kid changed his position in a time of crisis and calls out to his father. I'm that three-year-old little boy, and I was saved from drowning because my mother taught me how to change my position in the water and float on my back and call out to my father. And I wonder how many people here this morning need to change your position in crisis and distress and begin to call out to your father this morning and say, "Father, God, would you help me? I'm in distress and I'm drowning." As the altars are open, as we would come, would you find yourself in a position this morning of prayer or worship and begin to call upon the name of the Lord? Maybe you're deep in sin, and maybe you're deep in anguish and hurt and frustration. But if you would change your position and magnify God in worship, or change your position and begin to pray, God will deliver you. God will help you. God will forgive you. God will save you. God will redeem you. God will revive you. God will help you again. If you would change your position, come on. Some of us need to come to the altar. That will be a change in your position. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching. I'm coming for you. Some of you are in that backslidden state because you stay at your chair. And God is calling you to change your position and to kneel before Him. Come on. Change your position. Talk to Jesus. Call out to your Father in time of distress. Come on, you call out to everybody else. Everybody else knows your business. You should be talking to the problem solver, the one that's got the solutions this morning. He'll hear you. He'll hear you. He's listening. Come on. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? What you're facing doesn't have to consume you. Come on. is the real deal. Heaven is for real. Your situation, it's real. It's not fun. I know they're stressful. Oh, God. Your presence. Call out to your Father in times of distress.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
You do your part.